It's 11:30, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren. And it was great to talk with Jim, and it's going to be good to be back on the air together, even if pre-recorded next week when we do it at his place, at his home, as he keeps continuing, as I say, to run in his hip, and hopefully you get some good mileage from that as well. On Spotlight this morning, we're continuing with all our women's spotlight in the lead-up to International Women's Day next month. We have invited back another great friend of Spotlight, an inspiring leader in the Hills business community. Prior to starting on her own business, her career in large corporations included senior management roles for PwC Australia, MCI Wellcom, AAPT and Optus. Over the last 10 years and more, she has worked with micro and small businesses and their owners to grow their business through the Foundational Business Centre. In 2020, she was elected chairperson of the Sydney Hills Business Chamber. Good morning, Kerry Sheaves.
Good morning.
Welcome back. And last time I think it was on phone, but welcome to the studio.
Yeah, it's lovely to be in studio with you today.
Is it the first time here at Alive? Or
no, I've been here a couple of times before for different
reasons. Very good friend, a very good friend of Alive, and that's great to hear. Now, I just want to get straight into it about the Sydney Hills Business Chamber, and now you've taken on that lead. What does that mean, and what do you want to do leading the chamber in this year?
The chamber last year had an amazing board and an amazing female leader in Sonia Palich, and as a chamber and as most membership organisations faced over the last 12 months during COVID, it was a very difficult period of time, but it weathered really well. So its board and its team really bunkered down to make sure that we were still providing benefits that were relevant to all of our members. But it did mean that there was a whole heap of amazing initiatives we wanted to get off the ground, which just had to be parked because we had to do the barest minimum that we could with the resources we had, but still fulfil our mandate. And so this year is all about taking those programs to the next level. And for me as a chairperson and as a member of the organisation for the last 8 years, it's really important that businesses in our community are firstly represented by a very strong business advocate for them as a chamber, which is one of the things we're really focusing on this year, is gathering the voice of our community and bringing that to our political leaders and to our policymakers. But more than that, it's about helping those businesses grow. And that's a really important part of what the chamber does. So we have been rethinking the way we run the chamber and the programs that we have available. We've been, if you like, putting a broom through some programs so that we can enhance them and make them much more beneficial for our members and for the community. And then we've got a whole heap of new ideas that we're starting to get off the table over the next few months.
A little side note there, COVID, and now you're saying you hope to get back to a full program, and we can see, I think there is a light at the end of the COVID tunnel, so to say. How difficult has it been, and how easy is it going to be for the Chamber and businesses to recover over the next 12 months?
Well, I think like most businesses, and really the Chamber is a business, even though its business is actually serving its members, the way we delivered services, and particularly things like our networking events, we had to pivot those last year. So we went from being a very face-to-face environment every month to events. You know, we ran sort of around 20 events a year or more, to having to move online. And the challenges that come with that, not just for a business like ours and a chamber like ours, but for every business who faced the same challenges, was how do you make sure that the experience of your customer, of your members, is still great? How do you ensure that they're able to achieve the goals they want to achieve? And a big part of being a part of a networking organisation is that connection piece. As most people have faced, not just here in Australia, but globally, we've been so used to being physically together to create connection that we've all had to pivot the way we think to work out how do we still get that meaningful connection, even if it's via a Zoom call or via a virtual event or a phone call or in smaller groups of people. And so that was a challenge we faced last year, and I think we did really well with that because we tried a whole heap of different things. Some things worked, some things didn't, some things needed to have some adjustments made. But there's a few things we've made a call on this year to ensure that that member experience is maintained. And one of those things is we won't do hybrid events. And that's where you've got people in the room, people on Zoom, and it's kind of a bit of a tech nightmare in between. We've made a decision that we just don't need to make it more complicated.
They're very hard to manage because engaging someone on Zoom is much different than engaging people in a room, because you can much easier see people, the body language. Even for a radio interview, we much prefer having our guests in the studio because you get to see them, see their eyes, see facial expressions, which actually allows us to convey the meaning to listeners who are just listening. But if I've got, say, you on the phone, it's again, another level harder. So I totally agree with that, and well done for you and the Chamber. And as you say, it's been great progression from Sonia through to yourself and the whole team there. Now, I look on the website, there's a big list of team members at the Sydney Hills Business Chamber. What sort of activities do they do, and how do they support the businesses being members of the Chamber here in the hills of Western Sydney?
So we actually have quite a large team of volunteer leaders, and that's something to bear in mind. As a business chamber, we have one paid employee. That's our membership manager, Richard, who is amazing. He has just a fantastic network and an absolute passion for the chamber and the business community. He's actually our only paid employee. Everybody else who is providing their services and time to grow that chamber and the members are volunteers. So we have a board of 10, and that board is made up of people who are leaders in their space. So they may be someone who handles the marketing strategy or the partnership strategy or the treasury or whatever that might be, and I'll take you through a couple of those in a moment. But then what we have is volunteer leaders who are business owners who provide their services as leaders of our My Board programs. And the My Board programs are that small groups that connect every second week during the year, and they're just kind of facilitating, but they're facilitating a group spending time together, getting to know each other more deeply. So the extended team, if we broadened it to all of those volunteers, is probably about 50 people who are willing to give up a portion of their time, some of it more than others, to serve their business community.
So if I hear it right, there's ongoing programs every fortnight of the My Board program.
Correct.
And how big is those My Boards? How many businesses get together?
We try and limit them to 15. Now, they've been meeting both on and offline, and that's been working really well, and it was actually quite a vital part of connecting the business community and supporting each other more than anything else over the last year, and supporting growth this year. We try to limit to 15, and we also make sure that the type of people who are in those My Board and My Community groups, because that's the overarching umbrella for all the different types of My Board groups, are similar types of business in their size or their maturity, and they're in different industries. So they're bringing to the table their expertise and their knowledge and the way they do business with someone beside them who's in a completely different industry but might have similar issues that they can leverage off. So it acts like a mini advisory board for your business. It's a unique opportunity for our members, and it's free. Every
Wonderful.
Member can join.
Very unique. And that's great to hear. And we may want to talk about in the future some sort of maybe broadcast/podcast/audio type thing where Alive can help to facilitate that, because we've got a boardroom here, a training room that we're setting up. We heard it from Gillian just before you came on board as well. So we'd love to be there. We know we've got many friends of Alive 90.5 in your board and in your organisation as well. So that's wonderful. Now, just moving on to the idea of a larger event this year. Are you going to have your larger events, and how are they going to take place? And
yeah, they're back
on. What's
the
size of them?
Yeah, they're back on this year. So we are incredibly lucky that there are some bigger venues within the Hills area, like the Fiddler and the RSL, who are partnering with us again this year. They've been our friends for a long time, and we've worked out with them a way to ensure that we can get maximum numbers and still meet the restrictions of our government regulations. And probably the largest event that we'll see will probably be around about 150 people, and that will be like our chairman's lunch or our leadership lunch for the year. All of our events work off the basis that we'll assume that we're working off a 4 square metre rule. And then what we've planned to do is, if a couple of weeks out from every event, it says it's fine to work off 2 square metres, we'll release additional tickets. But one of the things we are introducing is, from March, we are doing a mini coffee catch-up. And what that's for is, on the first or one of the Mondays each month, on a regular basis, we're just going to have a really small social-only networking event, which is held at the Fiddler, and we're calling that the Chairman's Coffee Catch-Up. And it's really for those businesses that can't get to our bigger events or are a little bit nervous about doing so for medical reasons or other implications, and particularly great for our women in business who may be juggling the whole kids and, you know, work situation. And that's going to be held from 10 to 11, nice and short, sharp, outside of the school hours, just getting to know members, and it's capped at 25 people so that it just allows it to be a little bit more intimate, but it meets the needs of those who don't want to come to the bigger events.
So that's the Chairman's Coffee Club, were you saying?
Or Coffee Catch-Up.
Coffee Catch-Up, yeah. Sorry. The Chairman's Coffee Catch-Up. Well, that sounds fantastic. And I do really want to talk a lot more about women after the break, because I know you have a lot to share about women in the hills in business, and it's coming up to International Women's Day in, I think it's the 8th of March, as I've been saying all morning. So we're going to go to a break here on Spotlight on Live 90.5, and coming up is a song from Anthony Kalia, the King of Wishful Thinking. You're on Spotlight on Live 90.5.
Live 90.5.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial, and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety, and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 14 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren. And I'm still flying solo, but you'll hear Jim fully back on the airwaves next week. In the studio with me this morning is Kerry Sheaves, from the Foundational Business Centre and the chairperson of the Sydney Hills Business Chamber. And during the break, Kerry, we're talking all things about women in business and the events you're having and expanding those events and how women can get involved with business networking.
Absolutely. Our previous chair, Sonia, and some of our team from the board over the last couple of years established some really wonderful women in business, celebrating women in business lunches that we've been running over the last couple of years, which have been really popular. The level of speakers and the educational content and the connection that's been happening with those was brilliant. This year, we're really wanting to build on that. Women in the business community, particularly when you look at Northwest Sydney and the hills, is a hugely growing, you know, state of being. And the reason for that is, you know, a lot of us live in the McMansion and we've got to serve the mortgage, and that's the reality. So that double income is quite often necessary. Or we may be in situations where we have a lot of women who are single or have relationships that are broken down, have got to earn money and support themselves, but still need to also juggle all the other things that they do. And we're very conscious that that is a growing group of people in our business community, and there's a huge opportunity to create programs which really serve their needs and help them connect not just to each other, but to also all the other potential businesses they could be getting services from and support from through the chamber environment. That does mean us adapting some of the things we do so that it's relevant and fits that cohort. So we're really excited about what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to build on those two lunches. They're definitely happening this year again, but we're also going to perform a little working group within our board and our membership to start coming up with the ideas that are going to expand that. And that'll probably include some collaboration with other women's networking groups rather than competition. We love co-opetition or collaboration. We don't want to reinvent wheels that are there. We want to expand the services that are offered to particularly women in the business community. But I see a lot of benefit, having worked myself both in very male-centric industries when I was in corporate world, but also as a business owner for the last 10 years, of how we really can leverage that relationship between our women in business and our men in business and how they can work wonderfully together. And I'm very passionate about representing both of those cohorts.
So if someone's listening out there as a woman with a business idea and wants to get off the ground, and I know you have a few hats where you could answer this question, so feel free however you want to answer it. How do they get off the ground? What do you recommend is the best way for them to start?
Look, I think the number one thing I always recommend, no matter who you are in business, if you've got an idea, you need to count the cost. You need to understand what your time is worth, because a lot of people don't actually put a dollar figure against their time. And so they create a product or they create a service, they put a price tag against it, and they go out and they try and sell it. And it could be in any format that they try and sell it. But what they don't account for is the amount of time they actually put into all of the parts that it's going to take to run their business and the delivery of that service. And unfortunately, what that means is a lot of people, including a lot of women who are in business in our community, could probably go and work for McDonald's and earn more than they do today for all the effort they put into their business and all the time away from their families that they feel a huge amount of guilt about. So number one is do a proper budget, not just a high level. Really understand right down to the hour and the widget. What's it actually going to cost to run the business versus what you're going to make on it? It doesn't mean it's a bad idea. You just got to know what your numbers are, and you don't have to be an accountant to work that out. It's simple maths on an Excel spreadsheet will tell you what you need to know, and go and get advice. Don't do it yourself. There's so much free help through government programs. There's so much expert help through the business community. Always take the opportunity to reach out before you just run out there and waste lots of time and money.
And I know that's a topic we talked about last time, so it is quite an important part of forming a business is to know the mass of the numbers. And you shared it last time and you shared it again this time.
Yeah.
And
it's important.
We can't stress so much how important that is if you are starting a business. Now, that leads me on to one of the last points I want to discuss, and that if someone is involved in a networking group or even a business chamber, and maybe the Sydney Hills Business Chamber, how do they best activate the benefits that those groups and chambers give them?
I think when people begin the process of looking at potentially joining a networking organisation, and that's really what they're looking at, their first reason for doing so is usually so they can grow their business, so they can promote themselves. That's usually their main driver, that they recognise that they need to get the name of their business out there in the community. The second reason they join, which is probably just as important, is that they want to be part of a community of businesses who can help them learn how to do business better, which is a great reason to join a business community or networking group. What I see is probably the failure point for pretty much everyone who begins that process is that once they've looked at what the benefits list is on the website or the application form, it's usually the last time they look at it. So once they've signed up, they've handed their money over and they start attending some events, they don't go back and really understand what all the benefits and activities are that they could be leveraging and then build them into their business strategy and plan. And so quite often they'll go 12 months kind of participating on the edges, and then when it comes time for renewal, they start to ask themselves, well, did I really get value from that? Really, they could have gotten value from it, but they haven't approached all the activities and benefits and engaged with the membership teams of whatever organisation that might be to understand what would that benefit look like and play out in the context of my business. Mm. So number one thing I would say for anyone thinking about joining the chamber, our chamber, as well as any other networking group, is use your benefits. Understand them. Work out how you use them in context of your business and what you want to do this year, and then actually do them because you'll see results.
Something really practical. I'm going to a networking event and I want to network and I may not know how to. What's some practical tips that you can give the listener who is going to a networking event right here?
I'll give you my secret sauce.
Please
on this
do.
One.
Oh, yes. Secret sauce.
This
lovely.
Is the secret sauce for every networking event you go to. So I make it my business to ask someone I bump into, I might be a random stranger at a networking event, who are they and what do you do? Not just what is your business name, but I'm taking the first step to understand who you are. And I will always ask a second question. What type of businesses do you work with? Is that, you know, selling your service to a consumer or to other businesses? I'm trying to understand in that first question or two, who are you? What's your business? And in the context of who I am and what my business is, are you a potential referral partner? Are you a buyer of my service, or are you maybe just an evangelist? Which means it's good that you know me, you think well of me, and if you bump into someone else and say, yeah, I met Kerry, she's lovely, it's greasing the wheels. The second question, once you've got past that, is they're going to ask you, oh, and what do you do? Your answer is based on what you've just found out about them. So you're saying, well, my business is X and I work with businesses like yours to help you do X, Y, and Z, or I work with businesses like yours as a partner helping you add value to your customers.
So it's a personal connection with a person.
Genuine interest.
Genuine interest. Kerry, she's Chairperson, Sydney Business Hills... Sydney Hills Business Chamber. Let me get that right. Thank you for joining us this morning on Spotlight. How do people get involved with the Sydney Hills Business Chamber?
Best way to get involved is jump on our website, which is sydneyhillsbusiness.com.au, and book yourself in for an information session. They're on every month, they're on Zoom, and you can find out everything you need to know about becoming a member of the Business Chamber.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about your events and everyone in the Sydney Hills area getting together face-to-face over the next 12 months, as much as regulations allow. Kerry, thank you once again for being our guest on Spotlight, and we wish you a great morning.
Thanks, Darren.
Alive 90.5.